Welcome to the Relative Paths podcast. We are a podcast about web development, web design, and things of that nature. I am Mark Phoenix, your host.
And I am Ben Hutchings, the other host.
Today we are talking about Pert CMS. Regular listeners may have heard me mention it once or twice. It's my content management system of choice. I'd hesitate to say I'm a fan necessarily, because I'm not sure I entirely endorse that kind of approach to tools and things. I mean, it's probably good when cool heads prevail when we're deciding what to use. But it's the one that I've preferred using out of all the billions of ones that are out there at the moment. So we're going to go full Perch today, and to help us kind of delve into it a little bit more, we are joined by a Perch registered developer, Clive Walker. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. Hello.
So thanks for joining us. So before we start talking about Perch, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself? Like, what's your role in the web? What do you describe yourself as when people ask what you do?
That's quite a difficult one, because for most of my customers who would be small businesses, I would be called a web designer. However, I'm probably somewhere in the middle between designer and developer. So I'd probably describe myself more as a front-end developer than anything else. But having said that, I run a small business, so I kind of put my finger in quite a few things, really. So I have to cover quite a few bases, and from back-end stuff to front-end stuff to marketing and everything else.
Okay, excellent. I think that's the way, if you're a freelancer, you tend to have to wear lots of hats, don't you? Not actual hats, but different role hats.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, yeah.
I mean, is there any particular sort of area that you feel like particularly comfortable in, or do you sort of feel like you're a bit of a, you know, you range across quite a lot of disciplines?
I think I range across quite a few things. I don't know whether the term generalist comes into it, but I might describe myself as that. I don't think I specialize in anything particularly, so I would probably say I cover quite a few things.
Excellent. I think we spoke about that in a previous episode about being a generalist, and I think we spoke about how that idea is kind of undervalued a little bit. We did an episode with Ben Brignall, who was a designer, and I think he was extolling the value of a generalist, just saying how useful they are to projects, particularly the kind of big projects that that he was getting involved in. So we salute generalists.
Okay, thanks.
So I was having a look at your website. You mentioned that you had a background in science, in chemistry. So how did you get started out as a web generalist, developer, designer?
Okay, well, I trained as a scientist at university, and I worked in that area as a chemist in a lab for about 15 years or so. Towards the end of that time, I was given a cheap PC from my company. They were throwing PCs out, so I took one home, and I didn't know what to do with it. This was about 1996, 97, and so I connected to the web at that stage, and then I found a build your own homepage tutorial, and I was given some free web space, as tended to happen in those days, and I built a homepage, and then that seemed to be an interesting thing to do, so I carried on with that. I built a few personal sites in the evenings at weekends, and I did a bit of web work for my chemistry science-based career, but not much. And then I was made redundant from the chemistry career, so I had to decide what to do at that point, either to carry on with chemistry in some other company, or what I decided to do was jump into web design and development. So perhaps a bit of a rash move in some respects, but that was something I was really interested in doing, so I decided to go for it.
Excellent. It seems to be the way with a lot of the people that we speak to, that they get into the web in a similar way, that people kind of, you know, they chance upon a computer, or like a computer kind of like is vested upon them by the cosmos in some sort of a way.
Yeah.
And then they start from there. So yeah, so that's very interesting. Okay. So we're going to talk about Perch as a CMS then. So how did you discover Perch?
I think what it was some time ago now, so I can't be absolutely precise, but I think what it was, I followed Rachel Andrew and Drew McClellan on Twitter, I think, because they were kind of web developers that I knew of, and they'd written books and things like that. So I knew of them, so I was following them anyway. And then when they announced it in, I think it was 2009, I downloaded it and took it from there, really.
Okay, so what were you using WordPress before then, or did you kind of try a number of different different ones?
I was using a mixture of another system called Text Pattern, which is right. It's just still going, and WordPress. WordPress was becoming incredibly popular, well, still is, obviously. But I was using Text Pattern for some sites, but WordPress was what I was mainly using, I guess. But Perch is more along the lines of a custom-built type system. So that seemed to fit in really nicely with what I was doing, which was building sites and then installing a CMS into the site at that stage.
Yeah, I was listening to Rachel Andrew on the Control Clickcast podcast, and I think she was talking about, like, from her point of view, the genesis of Perch, that I think they were working on quite a lot of large builds with kind of quite complex custom CMSs for their clients, but the agencies that they work with would approach them and ask for something smaller. So the use case being that a client just wants to content manage this paragraph or these section of images, and so that's what inspired them to release Perch for those kind of small cases. So in terms of your uses of CMSs at the moment, then, do you tend to do, how, because you still work with WordPress now, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yes, I work principally with Perch and with WordPress.
Okay.
Depending on project requirements, project budgets, and how I think, or how I discuss how myself and the client think it fits with what they need.
Sure. So, I mean, what kind of split is there, do you think, then, sort of off the top of your head, between WordPress and Perch in terms of your work at the moment?
It's probably more towards WordPress at the moment, but I'm trying to redress that balance if I possibly can. But it's quite a difficult balance, I find, to move because of the popularity of WordPress.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you find that people kind of trust the name WordPress because they've heard it? Because it's just plastered all over the web.
Yes, I've had people come to me and say, look, I want to build my site in WordPress. And then you ask them and they say, okay, well, I've heard about it and it seems like a good thing and my mate does it. And that's the main reason, really. They haven't talked about requirements at that stage. So they've heard about it, and or maybe they've already got a site in WordPress and they just want to move on to a different or redesign it. So it's incredibly popular, as you know. So it's tough to fight against that. Even if the requirements aren't suitable for WordPress, I think it's tough to fight against it.
So from your standpoint then, when is the requirement best met by Perch as opposed to WordPress?
Well, up to fairly recently, and I think it's still the case for me, is I've kind of based it a bit on budget. If people come to me and say, I want a custom build site and I'm prepared to give you 2 weeks work for it, then I would probably build it in Perch.
Yeah.
But if they say to me, you know, I've only got 3 days budget, what can you do? Then I probably have to go with a WordPress theme that I customize.
Right.
And a lot of people, small businesses, are more than happy with that because there are some fantastically designed WordPress themes out there. And their current site might not be very good. So they end up with a site which, although it might not be designed 100% for them, is still a better design than they currently have.
Sure. Okay. Now, I was having a look at your website, and you mentioned that you're trying to move more of your work over to Perch.
Yes, I'm trying to think of ways of doing that because of the fact that I kind of consider Perch to be a custom build system, and because therefore any work I do with that would have to be on slightly larger scale projects or projects where the company, the client, has perhaps more budget or is prepared to spend more time on it. I'm trying to think of ways of shortcutting that. So what I would probably do in the future is try and move, assuming the project requirements are suitable for Perch, I would probably try and build Perch sites with Bootstrap themes or Foundation 6 themes or something of that type. That would enable me perhaps to still use Perch and also to do the job within a small budget.
Excellent. It's probably worth mentioning for our listeners at this point, actually, sorry, my fault, is that Perch is available in two flavours. There's the original Perch, which was intended for smaller sites.
Yeah.
But I found it still works well with kind of fairly, you know, reasonably chunky builds. But there's also Perch Runway, which is for larger, more complex sites.
Yeah.
And I think that's slightly more geared towards kind of making structured content available easily throughout the site. So, I mean, when you're doing Perch builds, do you tend to build with sort of regular Perch or Perch Runway, or is it a bit of a mix?
Well, most of my sites have been done with regular Perch. However, I'm moving more towards Perch Runway because I think that, well, one thing is that Perch Runway does actually make it quicker for me, I think, to build a site.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it has some really useful features like backups and collections of content, which are really useful for people. So it costs more money, but I think the time that you save is well worth it. And sure. it just works very, 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 very smoothly. So
excellent. We were going to mention just sort of talk about what it is that you particularly like about Perch. And we were going to sort of ask you about any particular features that you liked. And as you mentioned, collections, would you be able to explain a little bit about what those actually are or how that works?
Well, a collection in Perch Runway is really just a collection of content items. It could be sidebar items. It could be testimonials. It's any content item that you want to collect together in your site, really. So, and it enables you to reuse those items throughout the site in a very easy way.
Yeah. For me, actually, it's one of the, because you can still kind of access that kind of functionality in regular Perch, and it's one of the features that I particularly like using. Because it's very easy if you've got a blog or a gallery or various other kind of bits of your site, it's very easy to kind of to pull content from there and to display it in other areas of the site. So it's one of the things that I find particularly useful. But in a general sense, what is it about Perch then that sort of draws you to it? Are there any other features that kind of...
Well, I think one of the key features about Perch is that you can take a section of HTML that you've written or a section of HTML from a template or theme, and you can quite easily create a Perch template from that. And then the kind of unique thing about Perch is that not only does that template control the output on the site or the display of content items on the site, but it also controls how you input the data into Perch admin.
Right.
So the template has two functions, if you like. And I think that's fairly unique to Perch. I don't know of another system that does anything like that.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I've not used that many content management systems, but I found going from WordPress to Perch just seemed a bit more content system management-y, if you know what I mean. It just seemed like it worked in the way that I would expect a content management system to work. Because I remember kind of when I was learning WordPress, getting to certain points where to use WordPress to get it to work just using core functions or just core WordPress takes a little bit of arm twisting, or you get to a point where you think, oh, actually, I'm not entirely sure how to implement that. And I found with Perch, when I got to the point where, you know, you need to be able to, just the basic thing of having your client be able to edit text and images with Perch, it's incredibly simple. I think I was listening to Andy Clark on a different podcast, who was saying that he dropped in a Perch build on a static site and managed to turn it from a static site into a content managed site, in a couple of hours.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely the case with Perch. I mean, and Perch is very much structured content or content that you decide how to split it up. So, you know, if you decide it's going to be an image and text, then it's an image and text, you know, or if it's a checkbox which says show hide this content on the site, then you can add that within, you know, a few minutes. Whereas with WordPress, you know, you'd have to probably write a function which hides that and then do something else with it and add a plugin which does something. So Perch is very simple in that respect, I guess, but that makes it very attractive, I think.
Yeah.
So when you build a Perch site or you start to build it, do you almost build a static site and then liven it up, make it dynamic? Because it seems to be that's the sort of way that it works, which is pretty much reversed to WordPress.
Yeah, I mean, WordPress, you very much build the site around WordPress from the start, from the get-go. I would anyway.
Yeah.
And so with Perch, you build a site, but... And then one way of doing it is you build a site, then you install Perch. So there's two separate steps, if you like. Step one, build a site. Step two, install Perch. But what I tend to do is if I know the site is going to be Perch, then I start building the site with Perch from the start. So I might use Perch layouts, for example, and split my pages up into small small functions which Perch can do from the start rather than add those in later.
Because with Perch, you can give the client the ability to add complete pages. So you can basically set out a page as a Perch template.
Right.
And so when the client goes into the admin area, they can add a whole page with kind of all the elements there, content managed through the admin.
Yeah.
Or you can go the opposite way around as we just mentioned, and to kind of have a completely static site and just content manage a few little bits and bobs. So my approach tends to be a bit of both. I'm sort of, it's a bit of a blend of both. I generally start out with the intention of building things in Pert. So I'm already, like, as Clive just mentioned, sort of building in functions and things.
So it sounds like if you have someone that approaches you that already has some sort of static site that they want to give some CMS ability to, Pert is a good choice for them. Because could you take their existing site? How much reworking would you have to do if you were going to take a, when I say a static site, you know what I mean? Just HTML, JavaScript at most, but nothing, no back-end dynamic languages being used, no real dynamic content.
Well, I mean, Perch is ideal for that because Perch, you know, I don't even have to change the HTML. I might want to perhaps on some sites, but I don't need to do that to install Perch. I can install Perch on any HTML site. And the HTML that I use for the template, for the Perch template, which then becomes the admin region in Perch, that can be exactly the same HTML as the site already uses, if that's okay.
I see. Okay.
It's one of the reasons I really like Perch, because it doesn't really get in your way. You can build the site in your way, and kind of Perch can, you can just drop Perch in wherever you want, and it's so easy to do.
But also, I think that Perch has some great advantages for developers as well when you're building the site, because if you start building it with Perch layouts, which is effectively like PHP includes, they have some really powerful functions that really make it easy to build a site.
Yeah, excellent. So as we mentioned in the intro, you're a Perch registered developer, aren't you? So what does that involve?
That's nothing really. I mean, I pay for that, so it's not. Right. There's no criteria to that in a sense. But I pay a yearly fee for that, and so I'm happy to do that because I like the system and it gives me some exposure on the site. And Perch themselves will push people to that page if they feel that people want a developer.
Excellent. So Rachel and Drew don't make you kind of go and sort of run their assault course in their secret Bristol kind of headquarters or anything?
Not so far, no.
that's something to look forward to when you reach level two of being a Perch registered developer.
Indeed, yeah.
So one of the things that I've been using with Perch recently is the Perch shop. And I've been doing a build kind of more of a proof of concept for a photographer client, Ken Long, who's been on the show a couple of times. I've got a feeling it was actually surplus to his requirements, because if you, as a website owner, running a shop is kind of, takes a certain amount of commitment, doesn't it? Because there's quite a lot to sort of think about. But I mean, have you had a chance to use Perch shop much yet?
I haven't had much of a chance yet because I've been so busy with other things, and I've built a very small test site here for myself, but that's about as far as it's gone, really. I've just been so busy that I haven't had a chance to do it. I wanted to look at it in more detail, but I haven't had time to do that.
Sure.
It looks like a really powerful system, and I'm sure it's going to be great for quite a few sites, but I just haven't had time much myself to work with it.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed using it, actually. I think because building with it now, we're kind of part of the first kind of wave of people using it. There's a certain amount of head scratching going on whilst everybody else is working out sort of how to make things work. But I found it to be, again, in the Perch style, that you can build the shop your way.
Yes.
And it doesn't push you to sort of to build it in a particular fashion. So it kind of, it doesn't sort of twist your arm to sort of lead you.
No, it's completely down to you as to how you think the shop process should work, and how do you want the products to be described. Everything really is down to you to decide.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark, you mentioned a certain amount of head scratching. I don't want to take us off topic too much, but in comparison, we were talking about WordPress, and I was thinking of support and finding answers to things. And one thing that is good and also can be bad with WordPress is there's such a massive voice out there. If you want to do something, someone has probably done it. There's probably a plugin for it, or someone's developed some way of doing it. I'm wondering, with something that's quite, if I can use, I was going to use the word niche. It's not niche, is it? It's just comparatively small.
I think compared to the behemoth of WordPress,
when you want to do something, does it feel a little bit like kind of, you know, trailblazing each time, because it's like the first time something's been done, or has anyone else done this in the community? Maybe there's one or two instead of one or 2,000.
What would you say to that, Clive?
Well, I think it's been a bit like that with the Perch shop, because of the fact that Perch shop is a lot more functionality for Perch. I mean, I should explain that Perch Shop is an add-on to Perch. Mm-hmm. It's free. It's a free add-on. All the add-ons to Perch are free. So that's fantastic.
That's good.
Perch itself, there's a license per site for that. But all the add-ons are part of that. So, and Perch Shop is clearly, you know, a shop is a massive amount more functionality. And so I think there is a slight learning curve for that. And there aren't, obviously at this stage, I think there aren't as many sites built with Perch Shop as perhaps with Perch. Well, I'm sure there aren't. I'm sure there aren't. So having said that, there's quite a big community in terms of the Perch forum and a Perch Slack channel. So there's a lot of people out there who can potentially help you with it or come together and discuss it. So, you know, there is help out there, but it is a relatively new thing at the moment, I guess.
Yeah. The thing you mentioned with Ben with WordPress is that because there's so much noise around WordPress, there's so many people that use it, that can be both good and bad. Because when I was using WordPress, if you're trying to figure out how to do something and you search the WordPress forum, you might get like 20 posts which are people asking the same question and nobody's answered it, and then all a lot of people have answered it badly, and then you've got to do a lot more you've got to do a lot more detective work, I think, to find the correct solution. Whereas with Perch, one of the advantages is having first-party support. So when you go to the Perch forum and ask a question, the people who are answering it are Drew and Rachel, who've actually built the thing.
Mm.
So you do get to your answer a lot more quickly. And I have no idea how they managed to get so much done, because you can put in a support request, because quite often I'll put one in after I finish sort of work at like 5:30, and then I'll get an email notification like 40 minutes later with an answer, and I'm like, how has this happened?
Especially when on Twitter you see that Rachel's just given a talk over in LA or something. They've got more time in their days than the rest of us, I think.
It's bonkers. I think the Perch time machine, I think they're keeping that under wraps. Yeah. That's going to be released at some point. But
I definitely agree with everything you said there. I don't know how they get it all done. It's amazing, really. I think they're very well organized people. But having said that, I still don't know how they get it all done.
I think that's the secret, is being organized. It seems to be the special sauce that people who get more done sprinkle on all their daily activities. Now, we mentioned the community, the forums and et cetera. Now, you've been releasing a Perch newsletter recently. Could you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Yes. I mean, I started a newsletter called Perchology. And I wanted to do something really in the Perch community, partly out of self-interest to push myself forward in that community. Mm-hmm. And partly because I think there are some really good things out there built with Perch, and I just wanted to give other people who build things with Perch more of a promote them a bit more, really. And also there are things about Perch that I think are sort of slightly under promoted in my view. That's nothing to say. Obviously Drew and Rachel promote Perch and they do a fantastic job, but I think there are certain things that could be promoted more from my perspective, and which I think are really powerful features of Perch. So that's the reason I started Perchology, really. It's an email newsletter, and I just add links to Perch-related articles in there. It goes out every 2 weeks.
Sure. How have you found the community is like supported in that?
Well, it's been really good, actually. I mean, I think the Perchology is independent of Perch. I have nothing to do with development in Perch at all. Sure. So Perchology is independent of that, but Drew and Rachel have been very supportive of it, and they've tweeted it, and other people have retweeted my tweets about it. So it's been good so far. Yeah, sure.
Excellent. Good stuff. So you mentioned there are some features that are underpromoted. Is there anything that springs to mind with that?
Well, I think that there's a thing in Perch Runway, you can relate items to other items. And I think that's, although there are articles written about that, I don't see many people talking about that, really. And I think it's incredibly powerful. I've used it on my site, and it just works fantastically well.
Yeah.
You can read about it and it's in an article somewhere, but I don't think it's mentioned more than a few times, for example. So there was things like that. And also, you know, collections I mentioned before, and, mm-hmm. and, And the whole aspect of Perch where, you know, you're editing a template and then that becomes how you display the items on your site and also becomes the admin. That's incredibly powerful. And the fact that Perch is all custom fields, essentially, so you don't have to have a plugin which adds custom fields to it. You don't have to write code that adds custom fields to it. You just write a template and then that becomes your custom fields. So everything is very powerful. And so there are things like that, which they've all been written about before. I'm not saying anything new in that sense, but I think they could be promoted more in a wider or in order to try and get a wider audience for Perch.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Perch is such a powerful system and I find it so nice to work with. And it's kind of nice to sort of spread that around a little bit to make people aware of it. There was, I can't remember his name, but he runs a agency called A Million Monkeys. And I think he's...
Oh, yeah, that's Phil Smith.
Phil Smith. Perch.io, which is, sort of, again, articles on Perch and sort of helper articles and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that site and I like the site. I don't think he's done as much with it recently because he's busy with other things. But that's the kind of site that I thought about doing originally. Then he set that up and then... I left him to do that, and then I thought a newsletter would be a good idea as well. So that's why Perchology came about, really.
Yeah, we'll link to Perch.io in the show notes. But I was thinking of a particular article that he wrote about. I think it was a response to another article that was written about like the best CMSs available, if such a thing exists as a best CMS. Because I guess it's more a case of what's best for you necessarily, and what's best for the particular build that you're doing. But he was kind of scratching his head over why Perch doesn't feature on things like that, because again, like, as you know, we're not being like secretly paid by Drew and Rachel to do this, but I just find it so good to work with. I think you know, we're not out to vilify WordPress, because you know lots of people use it and they use it very successfully and people are happy with it and feel powerful with it, so that's fine. But I remember when I was, as you mentioned about Perch basically being custom fields, like all the way down, I was getting to the point with a WordPress build where I was trying to implement custom fields and using advanced custom fields, which is a very useful plugin.
Yeah.
But then went to Perch and it's just, here you go, it's all custom fields. And it's just so much easier to implement it. Yeah. And I think that was my kind of road to Damascus moment with Perch.
I think with WordPress, the situation with WordPress I find is that out of the box, WordPress works fantastically well. But as soon as you start tweaking it or trying to do something which isn't quite, well, it's available to do in the system, but as soon as you become a slightly more complex and want to do things that the client wants, then you have to start doing some, you know, reasonably advanced coding. To add things to it or use a plugin. Which is, you know, there's pros and cons for using plugins as well. So
yes, indeed. Yeah.
I think once you get deeper into WordPress, the time involved increases quite a lot. And people don't appreciate that sometimes. Whereas I think with Perch, that's not quite the same with Perch, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think there's any such thing as a free CMS, really, is there? Because you have to you have to take into account the development costs. Because I think I remember going to a WordCamp a while ago and talking to somebody about the fact that I use Perch, and their eyebrows nearly shot off their head at the idea of using a content management system that you would pay for. But then again, I think, you know, if it's easier to work with.
You cannot use WordPress, in my experience, you cannot use WordPress for free because of the fact that, most of the time you would end up perhaps buy, if you're on a budget, you end up buying a theme. Mm-hmm. If you're running a WooCommerce shop on WordPress, you're going to end up spending money on WooCommerce plugins. True. And even WordPress plugins, a lot of them are free and they're fantastic as well, but there are paid for plugins. So I believe that you won't be using WordPress for free. You'll be buying something. And that is generally renewed every year. So you end up spending a few hundred dollars or a few hundred pounds a year. And the cost of Perch is £60. So, you know,
that has been my experience as well. Yeah, absolutely the same. Besides a little bit of Laravel, I'm pretty much only a WordPress developer, and most, I was thinking actually out of the sites I currently run or am building, probably all of them have got something paid, even if it's something a bit unseen, like a pro version of a backup plugin.
That
I'm sort of relying on because I know it works. Yeah, you're right.
But I mean, I've nothing against WordPress. You know, I believe it's a great system, and I work with it. You know, probably half the time that I work with it, half of my projects are built with WordPress. So I'm not denigrating that at all.
Same here. Actually, I don't want anybody to think that we're kind of, you know, we're trying to talk it down.
Drupal, however. No, I'm joking.
That is £5 in the swear jar every time you say Drupal.
I can't comment on Drupal, I'm afraid.
I'm joking, actually.
I have no experience with that, so I'll leave it to you guys to talk about that.
Yeah. What was I saying? You've completely thrown me off.
Have I thrown you? Sorry.
Yeah. So at this point, as you mentioned, Perch is £60. I just wanted to mention the pricing of Perch. So for a single site, it's £50 plus VAT for Perch. And for Perch One Runway, it's £179 plus VAT. And it's worth, again, comparing that with other paid CMSs. I think that's really good value for money, because I was just, every now and then I'll have a look around and see what else is available. But, you know, again, Perch does represent good value for money in many ways, actually. I do wonder how they managed to sell it for that and for it to do the things that it does. And as you mentioned already, all the add-ons are free. So there's a blog add-on, which is free. There's a gallery add-on that's free. There's the shop add-on that's free. There's a podcast add-on that's free. Actually, I think we need to rebuild the Relative Path site.
We aren't doing it with Perch, aren't we?
Yeah, because that's the thing.
By we, I mean you.
Well, because I wanted to give you a chance to kind of, not I'm trying to convert everybody, but I just wanted to give Ben, a chance of trying it out and seeing it firsthand, because the Relative Path site is, ashamed face, is just a WordPress theme that we have... I wouldn't say we've hardly
touched it.
We've just combed its hair slightly differently. I think that's all we've done to it. But I kind of wanted to have the opportunity to kind of give Ben a chance to try it.
Thank you.
Go on.
Yeah, no, definitely go for it. Have a look at it for sure, because I think it does do things. Well, it's definitely a completely different system. So I think you'll really like it.
Yeah. Okay. We spoke to the host of the Control Clickcast podcast a little while ago about WordPress. And I think our takeaway from that show, same takeaway I'd like to sort of give to the listeners here, is just to try out different things. I think if you're used to using one particular system, it's easy to stay with it because it's comfortable. And there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes you might be denying yourself the opportunity to discover something that works even better for you. And I mean, I think you and I would wholeheartedly recommend Perch. I'm sure there are others that would recommend having a look at other CMSs that are available, but we kind of, for the time being, my flag is firmly planted in the Perch camp.
Yes, I mean, it's a really great system, I find it, and it really kind of, this may be unique to me, but I think it really works with the way my brain works sometimes. You know, it just kind of seems to fit quite well with the way I think, and so doing something with it is quite easy, really, and it just kind of complements the way that I think, really. It's a bit weird. I'm trying to explain it. I'm not explaining it very well, but it kind of just sits quite comfortably with me and with the sites I build, so that's good.
I think that's quite important, because there's quite a bit of discussion in our industry at the moment over people criticizing other people for the tools that they use. And the idea is, say, I mean, preprocessors is the one that I was thinking about last week and reading about, and people saying, do you use Webpack or Grunt or Gulp or NPM or whatever? But it kind of doesn't necessarily matter if one is a few milliseconds faster than the other. If one is the one that you know, you have examples of, you've got things that you can use from previous experience for quick development, and you're just comfortable with, as long as you get your job done, that's a whole nother topic.
I think use the tools that are best for you.
Yeah.
And I don't think you necessarily need to use, you know, if you're using SaaS, you don't need to go mad with SaaS. You just use the bits that make sense for you. You know, use variables or use mixins if that works and it makes your job better. Mm. I mean, I'm a bit old school really, but I use a little bit of SAS, but I don't use it hugely. So and it helps, the bits I use help me, but that's it really. I may end up using more of it as I develop, but for the moment that's fine. You know, I've used a little bit of Gulp, but at the end of the day I think I probably prefer to use something like CodeKit. But that works for me, so you know, do your thing, and what works for you works.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think you can end up spending too much time chasing tools and kind of always being on a learning curve for something else.
And some people like doing that. That is part of their, you know, they really enjoy trying out new things constantly, but other people just need to get, you know, a bit of work done.
Yeah, I mean, I went through a phase a few months ago where I had some spare time and I looked at different CSS frameworks for a period of several weeks. And in the end of the day, I went mad in circles, I think. So I've kind of tried to stop doing that now. So so I've settled on a couple of things now, and I'm going to use those, I think.
Yeah,
that's it. I think if you
Foundation 6, you mean?
Well, Foundation 6.
I'm joking.
No, a Foundation 6, I would probably use actually. If I had to choose one of the big, well known frameworks, I would probably choose that one.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Excellent. Okay, so basically, as a takeaway, then, just something that you said about finding Perch just works with the way that your brain works. I think the same way. As a developer, I think you approach things in a certain way. And when you see a problem, you kind of think of how you can code to solve it. And I find that Perch doesn't get in the way of that. It allows you to kind of to do your own thing, and it fits in very neatly with that. So for me, I think that's the feature that I enjoy most about Perch. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Good.
Excellent. Okay, we'll stop there and we'll do a tool star. So this is our tool star section, where we feature a tool or app that is particularly of use to us. And you have one for us this week, Clive.
Yeah, I mean, it's related to the Perchology newsletter, and I use an app for that called Curated. It's curated.co. And it's a newsletter app, I guess. So I suppose you could compare it with MailChimp in some respects, but it does a little niche thing. It's ideal for newsletters where you are collecting links and curating them and then sending them out to people. And so it's not like MailChimp being all singing, all dancing, all templated sort of thing. It's a niche app which is great for collecting links and sending them to people. It's a paid for app. I think it costs about $25 a month, which some people would probably not want to do, but I think it saves me time, and so I'm happy to spend that. It's a great little app actually, and it makes it really easy to collect links and publish them.
Excellent. I remember somebody writing about another tool saying that there's no such thing as a free tool. There's only such thing as a free tool if you think your time isn't worth anything.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Again, if $25 a month saves you time, then it's well worth it. Is that the same thing that that Rachel Andrews been using? I'm sure I saw her write about that in a blog post somewhere.
It is, and I think I originally saw it through her mentioning it, and I did debate at one stage whether I wanted to pay the money for that, because I'm doing Perchology. I don't get any money out of that. I'm just doing it because I want to do it. So, you know, I was thinking, should I use MailChimp? That's free for so many subscribers and everything. But when I actually looked at it, I thought, well, I haven't got much time. I want to do Perchology, but I've got limited time to do it in, and so I really need to find an app or some way of doing it very quickly. And so Curated enables me to do that. It provides a little bookmarklet that you can use, which will send a link to Curated. So whenever I see something about Perch, I can just click a link and that will send it to Curated. And then I can just log into Curated and add that to the next newsletter whenever I want. And so it makes it dead easy to do that.
Excellent, good stuff. And just on whilst you mentioned Perchology, I just want to say just how useful it's been. I've got I've got them all bookmarked, and every time I see a link on something that you've put in there, I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't realize you could do that. Oh yeah, there's that. So there's kind of given us a lot of good stuff to work with. So
I want to encourage people, anybody who is a user of Perch and listening to this podcast, I want to encourage them to write articles about Perch so that I can feature those articles in Perchology, because one of the things I think about Perch is that there's not enough people writing about it.
Yes.
And so I encourage everybody who has used Perch to write an article about it. Yeah. And I will promise to try and feature that in the next edition or in future editions of Perchology.
Excellent. Yeah. And I think it's good for us to get over our reluctance to do that, because I think sometimes we might feel that we've got to write about something which is absolutely 100% unique. But it's difficult to do that. So I think if there's anything that you're using with Perch that you found particularly useful, even if you think someone else may have covered it, or even if you're unsure about like how much people be interested in it, encourage you to do that. Yeah,
that is absolutely the case. I mean, there are people on the Perch forum who use Perch, and there's a huge range of experience on the Perch forum in users. So anything you write about a template, even though you may think it's quite simple, I think that is going to be useful for somebody. And so anything you do with Perch, I think it's useful to write about.
Excellent. This is a call to arms and Perches. Get writing right now.
Indeed, yeah. Go for it.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
So that brings us to the jukebox section.
Yay.
Yeah. And I'm sorry to say, I don't have one this week.
Boo hiss, boo.
But Mark does. So Mark, what do you have for us?
Because of Ben's dismay at my last couple of choices, I've played it safe this time, and I've gone for one by Massive Attack. So it's a classic. So it's off the Mezzanine album. I'm not sure what year that was. 98. Wow. But I remember back at the time, I was a bit of an obsessive Massive Attack fan. How can you be a bit of an obsessive anything? I was a completely obsessive Massive Attack fan. And I absolutely loved Blue Lines. And I remember when Mezzanine was released, because I think Massive Attack, they didn't release lots and lots of albums, so there was a bit of a gap between Blue Lines and Mezzanine. No, Protection and Mezzanine, I mean, sorry. And I remember being really anxious, buying Mezzanine, taking it home.
Would it be any good?
Unwrapping it, putting it in, and just being a little bit stressed. And then when Angel, I think the first track, comes on, I thought, I think we're okay. And then we got through to track number 3, which is Teardrop, which is possibly one of my favourite songs of all time. I think if I could have written any song at all, it would be this one. I think the lyrics are wonderful, and
the video's great.
The video's great, so it's perfect. I think for me, it's probably sort of Massive Attack's high point. So yeah. So to the relief of Ben, my jukebox track is Teardrop by Massive Attack.
Yeah, that is a great track. And you said you took it home and you were excited and you unwrapped it. Now, you can't do that with an MP3, can you, kids?
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
No. there's something kind of...
See, is it lost from music? Part of our love of music, is it not what's on the album cover? What's in the notes? What's how it's physically packaged? I'm going to have a little old man rant now. No, I'm not. I'm not.
I kind of enjoy the nostalgia, but I don't necessarily think it's better, because I think it's so much easier to discover new stuff now.
Right.
I think making things harder to discover means that when you came across something, there'd be a bit of extra delight with it. But it's just easy to find new stuff now. So I'm completely
okay.
Yeah. You can wrap your computer up in some cellophane and then unwrap it. Same thing. Okay, so that was my my jukebox track. Clive, you've got one for us, haven't you?
I've picked a couple of CDs, really, but they're the first two albums by Morcheeba, which the first one was about 20 years old now, I think. And
wow.
Good.
It's amazing, really. But I think that my favourite album from Morcheeba is probably their second album called Big Calm. Anything from that, really, I think Part of the Process, Friction, or the music that we hear are all great tracks. I don't know if you want to pick one of those or not, but they're all great tracks.
I've got a feeling we'll be happy to put one of those on the playlist, won't we?
So, yeah, definitely.
So what we'll do is, when Ben takes this episode into the Relative Paths bunker to edit it, we'll get him to select a track.
Okay.
So we'll play a little bit now, shall we?
For your very last breath. How can it be that this is your death? Something is stirring way underneath as people ignite the last burning ray.
So that's our episode all about Perch. Thank you very much for joining us, Clive. If people wanted to follow you on social media, how would they do that? And is there anything else that you've got going on that you'd like to mention?
Okay, I'm Clive Walker on Twitter and most other social media sites. I'd like to mention I've just started a new business, actually. Maybe another time we can talk about it more. But it's a co-working space in Horsham in Sussex where I live. So I've just started a business running a co-working space. So that's something I wanted to give a shout out to.
Okay, excellent. We'll pop a link to that in the show notes.
Okay, thank you.
So thanks, everyone, for listening. This episode will be up on our website, relativepath.uk, with a comment thread. So please come and visit that and leave us a comment or two. We are always happy for positive reviews. So if you listen on iTunes, particularly for our US listeners, if you're listening and you like us, please leave us a review. It's kind of what helps people discover us. And if you listen on Stitcher or whatever, a good review on that is good for us. We are Relative Paths on Twitter and on all the other social media sites. So come and say hello. And that's pretty much it. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back in your ears in a couple of weeks' time.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, thanks, guys.